Hey man, let's go ahead and we'll pray and then we'll jump right in this lesson. Dear Father Yah, we just honor you and we just praise you for who you are. We thank you for your presence as always, and we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. We just thank you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. there are some things that I want to make clear with us as a ministry, because I've been running into this quite a bit the past few weeks, and I feel like this is a good time to just kind of discuss this with you as the church, so that we can make sure that we are on the same page with Yah. And because our goal is to walk into understanding from Yah's mind, not ours and things like that. And so I really stress that a lot. And I have to admit, I've been struggling with the things that I've been hearing from, you know, from other people, preachers, just people in general. It's just a cause for concern, and I just want to prepare you for these things and to be able to assist you to know how to handle it and things like that. But I'm gonna title this the word is precious in these days. The word is precious in these days. I was asked a question, and it was a strange question to me, and I was trying to understand the point of view on the question, and I get it, but then at the same time, it's a cause for concern. The question that I was asked, well, let me back up and say this. The reason why I'm saying that the word is precious in these days is because you have so many people who are wise in their own eyes. They have intellect, college degrees and all these different things, and all of this education has put these people that I've been running into in a certain frame of mind, and it reminds me of a statement that I always say in reference to certain people who have this mindset. I say, you know, you guys got folks who are heavenly bound and no earthly good. I mean, can't function in the earth whatsoever because they're too busy. They're too busy being so wise in their own eyes to the point where they're just heavenly bound all the time. You know, ain't good for nothing here on earth though. But but from their point of view, they think they are excellent representatives of the kingdom of Yah. And in dealing with these people, one of the questions that was asked to me, and another thing the mindset of these type of people have is they believe that they have the capability of telling you what you think. Now, there is a such thing as discernment of the spirit. You can find that in really 1 Corinthians 12. I'll just use that to launch from. First Corinthians 12, what verse is it on? Is it in? Verse 10, where it's dealing with the gifts that the Spirit gives. It says, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits. Now, when we look at verse 10, and it says discerning, it says estimation, okay, disputation. But since it says by the Spirit, it is letting us know that it is the Spirit that allows us to understand the minds of men. Okay, but these type of people that I'm talking about, they're not discerning by the Spirit. They're estimating based upon the wisdom in their own mind, their disposition, mental disposition. You know, even the scripture talked about our nation, every man seemed to do what was right in his own eyes type of deal. His own perception, that's what eyes is. And so you have these type of people that do that. Well, because this is such a big thing now, it has made the word of Yah precious in these days, like the same way it was precious during the days of Samuel. We may look at that in 1 Samuel 3. These people, what's been approached to me, the things that's been approached to me, that they have approached me with, is things like, do you know that the scriptures are out of place? And I'd be like, what do you mean? the scriptures are out of place. Well, you know, they're not in order. What do you mean? They're not in order. Well, I've even had some that say, well, you said that the scriptures are not in order. No. One of the things that I have said is that you can go to one book and it'll give information in that book, and then you can go in another book and it'll have that same information. But to make a statement and say Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers is not in the right order, that's something I'd never teach. Because,
how do you make that declaration?
That's my point.
You're not the author of the book.
That's my point.
Like, the author of the book tell the story in whatever order you want to tell it in. Like you can't make that declaration. So if I'm reading the book, and it go back to the past or it go to the future, the author of the book determines those things. Determines you can't it. Be like, well, this is out of order.
Right.
I'm the author of the book. Right. I put it in whatever.
And so you see my point. And those things amaze me, because I'm like, okay, I don't understand. You know, I was trying to wrap my mind around. I'm like, okay, what do you mean out of order? As you mentioned, how do you make that determination if the scriptures are out of order? Well, I've even had people say, well, I've heard you say that before. No, you've never heard me say something I don't believe. I wouldn't teach that the scriptures are out of order, because they're put there again by the writer. This is inspired by Yah, and since it's inspired by Yah, there's no way I'm gonna come around now and be wise in my own eyes and say this ain't in the right order. Well, I do know that in order for you to understand the book of Daniel, you do have to go back to the book of Esther. Studying has allowed me to see that, but yet I still won't make the declaration that the book of Esther should be beside the book of Daniel, because I am not the author of the book. It is inspired by Yah and put in place to bring about to bring about the understanding that he feels is necessary in order for us to see his truth.
I mean, because there's nothing saying that it had to be in chronological order. There's no reason why that happens. Because even when you're looking in Genesis, and it's talking about at the very beginning, and it said in the land of Havilah, and there's gold, and right. like it's telling you something that is in the future, but it's relevant to what God is saying. So how can I say, you shouldn't have said that at this point?
Yeah. You even get some people that say Job is the oldest Bible in the book. Well, I don't know. If y'all ain't saying it, I ain't preaching it. You know, I just tell the story of Job. And I don't get caught up in which one, where Job should be. If it's the oldest Bible in the book, then it should be before Genesis. If you look at people's mindset, and so I'll be like, I don't get caught up in this kind of stuff. It's foolishness. Well, another thing that, and I remind you, we're discussing the word is precious, because these are type of mindset that makes the word precious in these days, because people are not dealing with the word. And when they run into you who deal strictly with the word, then you're not teaching like everybody else. So there got to be something wrong with you. Okay, because all the, you know, even as far as our nation is concerned, all the Israelite camps are not preaching like you preaching. Well, all I know is I'm preaching from Genesis to Revelation, and I preach it with Yah's intention, and I don't add to it, and I don't take away from it, and I don't preach my own truth. I don't have my own estimation of what it's saying. I just interpret scripture with scripture. Now, if the Israelite camps don't do that, or some famous preacher don't do that, you know, however the way these other people do these things, that's between them and Yah. I just know what I've been commissioned to do and how I've been commissioned to teach it, you know. And I always say this, allow the truth to prevail. In other words, don't get caught up into Israelite doctrine to the point to where you can't tell the truth now. Because you get Israelites who stand on the corner telling everybody else that they're going to hell and only Israel going to be saved. My Bible don't say that. My Bible does say all Israel shall be saved in Romans chapter 11, but it don't say only Israel will be saved. But when people are right in their own eyes, they have a tendency to tell a story according to how they see fit, instead of allowing the scripture to tell us exactly what it means and what it says. Now, another example of this is, I was asked the question, do I teach the church that there are lost books in the Bible? There are lost books of the Bible. No, I don't teach the church that there are lost books of the Bible. Well, what about all these other books? This stuff like that. I don't get caught up in all those other books. I don't get caught up into the Apocrypha book, because there are books that I have looked at. I have that information. I have those books. And so I've looked at some things in those what they call scripture. I don't call them scripture. I call them apocryphal books, just like they are. There are certain things that keeps me within the boundaries of the discipline of Yah's intention. So I ask certain questions. Okay, when I read the writings of the scriptures, I know who wrote it, and I know they are Israelite. I know they're inspired by Yah, and I know every writer in the book is an Israelite. But those apocryphal books, I don't know who wrote them. Now, some of them may say certain things that you know, come from certain tribes and stuff like that. But when you start looking at the content of a lot of that stuff, man, I'd be like, that don't line up with the scriptures. One thing that we are assured from Genesis to Revelation is they're all in harmony. All of them are saying things that coincide with the other thing, and there is no contradiction between any of them. But you go and get those apocryphal books, and you start adding them to the scripture, and there are contradictions throughout those entire books in a lot of areas. But yet people say that's the inspired word of God. When the apocryphal books, I can't remember where it's quoted, I can look that information up, but it's just come to mind. Matter of fact, one of the books says this specifically. If there is and I'm going to paraphrase it. If there is a possibility that we've made some mistakes, forgive us. That all goes in the trash can right there when I heard that. What you mean if it's possible that you made a mistake? I ain't never heard Moses say that. I ain't never heard Paul say, I'm going to write this down, but it may be wrong. So when you get different things like that, and one specific example that I did write down, it's in, and I don't know if I have this the apocryphal book on this system here. Let me see if I do, and if it is, I'll show you here. No, I don't have it on this one here. And it may, and if I type it in, it may try to force me to download it. And I don't have time to do that. I'm going to see if it's going to make me download. And I don't want to download nothing. Nope, I'm not going to download it for the sake of the time. It may take some time. Well, I'll give you an example of it because I can pull up Genesis 49. And then I'll just quote the apocryphal books just to show you the kind of stuff that you encounter. Now, we know the story where when Simeon... And what Simeon and Levi did, matter of fact, you can just for the sake of a cross reference here, when it's referring to this, it's found in Genesis 34 verse 26, and so I'll just pull up another Bible here, just to show you and connect the story here. What was it? Genesis 34. Yeah, 34 and 26. Just to kind of give you a general idea as far as the story is concerned, then I'll get out of the cross reference on this. Now, to the left of the screen, Genesis 34. I'll just start at verse 24. Oh man, I don't want to read all of this here. Well, I'll start at verse 31. You can read Genesis 34 on your own time to see what's going on in the entire story. Basically, you have a man who falls in love with one of the daughters of Zion. And he took her and was intimate with her, and he wanted to marry her, but it was against our custom as a nation to marry somebody outside of our nation. And so as you see, there's a conversation going on here, and what they decided to do was to have all the men of that other nation be circumcised, just like all the men in our nation was. And then they were going to, just as you see verse 21, it says, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein for the land. Behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us be circumcised, and they are circumcised. So he was saying circumcision was going to seal the deal of them being one people. Then it's verse 23 says, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, his son, hearkened all that went out of the gate of the city, and every male was circumcised, and all that went out of the gate of the city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore from the circumcision, that the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brother, because Shechem is the one who took Dinah and was intimate with her, basically against her will and things like that. And that's why they was talking about making this covenant, because, you know, the brothers were, you know, the brothers of our nation were angry about it. And so they was trying to work things out and make it, as you see, peaceably with us, peaceable with us. And so, but what these brothers did is verse 25, it said, and it came to pass on the third day when they were sore, all these men of Hamor and Shechem, all that nation, they were sore from the circumcision. It says, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, because they had the same mother, took each man his sword, and came up on the city boldly. Two Israelites came to the whole city and took out all those men and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came up on the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. That's why. And so they took their sheep, their oxen, and their asses, and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones, and their wives took their captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and I being few in number, shall they gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Okay, that's why they killed them. Now, when you look at Genesis 49, it picks up this story again. Verse 6, it says, verse 5, Israel, or Jacob is Israel, he's prophesying over his son. But when he gets to Simeon and Levi, he says, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will. See it here? In their self-will they dig down a wall. So if it's self-will, that means it's not Yah. Okay? Let's look at self-will. When you look at self-will, it says acceptable, delight, favor, pleasure. So in their own pleasure, Yah wasn't leading them to do this. They did this on their own self-will. Okay? Verse 7, it says, curse be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So you had Simeon and Levi, according to the scripture, they were scattered amongst the brethren of Israel. That's why when you look at the tribe of Levi, that each priest had to be in each camp of the sons. He didn't have their own land. And when you look at Simeon, because of what Simeon did, he didn't have his. He was divided amongst his brethren, the same thing. So this prophecy was was spoken and fulfilled based upon what these men did to that nation, that other nation. Okay, now we're talking about the lost books. Now here's what the lost book of the scriptures basically says. It's found in Judith chapter 9, verse 2 through 9. And like I said, if I had the apocryphal, I'm going to see if I can pull it up here where you can read it. I'm going to see if, just see if it'll give me Judith 9. It may not, but I'm going to just try it. It is. It pulled it up, so it's going to do it. Okay. And I'm going to save this so I can have it for future use. I might be spelling it wrong, but
not an
R. Oh, sure do. So apocrypha, P-H-A-L. Did I do it right? He still look wrong. That's close enough. That's close enough. Now, to show you this, and I like how we can pull it. We're gonna try to pull this right here. Pull it right here. Now, show you why I don't teach from these books. Now, this one is supposed to be one of the lost books of the Bible that was in the original King James 1611 Bible. Okay? And so, you get people that teach from these books. I don't. This is why. Now, when you look to the right of the screen, well, yeah, it's good. When you look to the right of the screen, verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty, are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be they their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, when this writer here in the Apocryphal books, he said, O Lord God of my father Simeon, to whom thou gavest a sword to take vengeance of the stranger. Did y'all do it? Self-will. Now, why am I going to teach that crap as a lost book? Now, who loosened the girl of a maid to defile her and discovered the thigh to her shame. Talking about what Shechem did, okay? And discovered the thigh to her shame and polluted her virginity to her reproach. For thou said, it shall not be so, and yet they did so. Yeah, I did say that now. Wherefore thou gavest their rulers to be slain. Okay? When we look at the sovereignty of Yah, we know at the same time, Yah is in control of all things. But when you look at it in comparison to Genesis 49, 5 and 6, it is letting you know that it was the brother's self-will that did this. It was not Yah's divine will. Okay? Then it says, which thou gavest their rulers to be slain, so that they died their bed in blood, being deceived, and smoteth the servants with their lord, and the lords upon their throne, and has given their wives for a prey, and their daughters to be captive. Now, some of these things in here are true. But when you start looking at the content of certain things in there, that don't line up with what the scriptures say. That's contradiction. And so that's the reason why, and this is just one example, and I keep reading here. Dennis says, divide among their daughters to be captive, and all their spoils to be divided among thy dear children, which will move with thy zeal, and abhor the pollution of their blood, and call upon thee for aid, O Yah, O my Yah, hear me also, a widow. For thou hast wrought not only those things, but also the things which fell out before and which ensued after. Thou hast thought upon the things which are now and which are come. And so when you look at stuff like this, this is when you look at this here and look at what the scriptures say here, that contradicts the writing of the scriptures. I can't preach it. Although there are certain things in here that does line up with the scripture, if anything in here that contradicts what the scripture says, I got to reject it. I can't preach it. I'll show you another one since I got this up. Let me see if I can pull up Tobit. See, well, let me do it. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. Tobit, six verse one. Verse one said, in Tobit 6 verse 1 it says, and as they went on their journey, they came in the evening to the river Tigris, and they lodged there. And when the young man went down to wash himself, a fish leaped out of the river and would have devoured him. And the angel said unto him, take the fish. And the young man laid hold of the fish and drew it to land. To whom the angel said, open the fish and take the heart and the liver and the gall and put them up safely. So the young man did as the angel commanded him. And when they had roasted the fish, they did eat it. Then they both went on their way till they drew near to, I guess, Ecbatane. Verse 6 says, then the young man said to the angel, brother Azarias, to what use is the heart and the liver and the gall of the fish? And he said unto him, touching the heart and the liver, if a devil or an evil spirit trouble any, we must make a smoke thereof before the man or the woman, and the party shall be no more vexed. This is a freaking potion. What did Jesus do? Did he make potion to cast out devils? That's why I don't teach this stuff, man. So you get a person who will read that, and then you got them making potions. You got them doing all these other kind of things in order to drive out demons. And the scripture clearly tells us, cast them out. Christ cast them out. And he told us these signs shall follow you that believe. In my name you shall cast out. He didn't say in my name you go catch a fish and you take the liver and the heart and you make your potion to keep the person from being vexed. I'm telling you, the word is precious in these days. Okay? Just other little things here. I'm gonna look at one more, and then we'll move on. Second Maccabee. I'm gonna see what it says. It's been a while since I've done this. Second Maccabee. I'm going to read 41. I'm trying to remember what this was dealing with. 2 Maccabee 14 verse 41. I'm trying to understand it because I don't fool with these books much. And so I'm trying to see what it's dealing with. It says, now when the multitude would have taken the town and violently broken into the other door and bade the fire should be brought to burn it, he being ready to be taken on every side, fell upon his sword. Okay, and I think this, choosing rather to die manfully than to come into the hands of the wicked to be abused otherwise. Then, okay, let me see who this is talking about. Because this is not how he died. That's why I have it there.
Why
did
they switch the
U's
and the
V's? This is 1611. That's why. It was written in 1611.
Is it there? Did you pick that because it's talking about committing suicide?
Yes, it's a lot, but it's talking about committing suicide. But I'm trying to remember if it. Because, like I said, I don't spend a lot of time in these books. Because I think this individual who died, from what I remember the last time I looked at it, it's basically said he chose to commit suicide. But in actuality, he was killed another way. But I can't find the other scriptures. Here's one. I'll use this one, and then I'm gonna get out of it. Cause like I said, I don't spend a lot of time in these books, so it's difficult for me to say a whole lot of stuff about them. I'm just telling you why I don't teach from them. But you get a lot of people who teach from them, and they swear up and down that this is Yah's word. Solomon 8, 19 and 20. Wisdom of Solomon 8, 19 and 20. This is the last one I deal with. Wisdom of Solomon, 19 and 20. It says, for I was a witty child and had a good spirit. Yeah, rather being good, I came into a body undefiled. This is talking about pre-existence of the soul. For I was a witty child and had a good spirit. Yeah, rather being good already. I came into a body undefiled. I was already good, so I came into a body undefiled. That's teaching pre-existence of soul. So it's all these little things like this.
And not only that contradicts the scripture where it talks about all that sin and, you know, to fall short of the glory of God. Like, I mean, in all being partakers of the sin of Adam, like, okay, this is indicating that he came in good, you know,
mm-hmm.
without all those things falling onto him.
Yes. That these are the reason why. So when people start approaching me saying, you know, approaching you or would approach you and say, did you know it was X amount of books in the Bible? And there are a lot of lost books in the Bible. You know, get to talking about the Book of Enoch, all these other books. And they be saying, man, see, these books, they hide stuff. I'll be like, man, when you read the Book of Enoch, it starts talking about angels sleeping with women. That's where that doctrine comes from. In a lot of cases, same thing that they make a mistake in interpreting as far as Genesis 6 is concerned. So I'll be like, okay, all this stuff is in the Book of Enoch, and you saying this is Yah's word? It's the same way as the first one that I had talked about. There was some truth in it when we read about Simeon and Levi. When you read it in the Apocrypha book, there was some truth in there, but then there were some things in there that was contradicting what our father Israel had said. He said he was an instrument of cruelty. They went in their own self-will. Well, what was that? Judith said that it was Yah's divine plan, basically, that caused them to slay them in. When we take on that kind of mindset, it opens the door and we can say, okay, let's play the game then. Okay, if that kind of stuff is Yah's divine plan, then when somebody go out and murder somebody out here on the street, just because then we say that's Yah's divine plan, even though it was that person's self-will. That's how people can get caught up in the teaching and understanding these false things. They can go to certain scriptures. Again, go to, what was it, Judas that I used? They can go to that scripture and use that, and now they're calling everything Yah's divine will. No. In the, where's the book? Joshua 24, I believe it's verse 15. Nope. I thought I clicked on Joshua. I'm glad you seen that, because I was going to be looking confused. Joshua 24 and 15. Let's see. Yep, this is it. Look. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Yah, choose you this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yah. When people get caught up into that other kind of stuff to think it's Yah's divine will, when our father Jacob clearly said they were instruments of cruelty, then we can start throwing everything in there as instruments of Yah. We know that Yah is sovereign. He's sovereign. He's in control of all things. But we have to understand that there are decisions that mankind make that Yah would allow, and it goes against the divine will of Yah. Yah don't want us killing a child. When we get caught up into this modern day doctrine where we start adding all these books in here and studying these books. People ask me a lot of time, hey, you spend a lot of time studying them apocryphal books, man. I ain't got time to be wasting my time with that. Because there's certain things in there that contradicts the scripture. And so it's some information in there that is correct. Like what we read about, you know, as far as Judith was concerned. Yeah, there were some things in there that Levi and Simeon actually did. But I ain't finna go over there and just study all that, because that information, now I can get the same information out of Genesis.
And what you're saying also is if it's some parts that's untrue, then how can you trust any parts of it?
Exactly. The scriptures are only as strong as the weakest link. And if you got one link in there that is wrong, the whole chain is messed up. You think I'm kidding? Get any bicycle, get any car, and let one of the lifters be bad on it. You got a bad engine. Your car gonna run crazy. Get your chain, get your bike, and one of them chain link is bad. That chain is gonna break, and you're gonna be stranded on that bicycle. And it's the same way as far as these scriptures are concerned. And I'm glad you brought that up. If any of it is off, then all of it is off. Because you're going to be hitting and missing with the truth. And before you know it, I'm just as confused. But you got people who are living by these scriptures. And they can't tell you who the writers are. Some of these books don't even tell you who the writer is. And so it's just a lot of them. I just wanted to give you an example of these things and make us aware of it. And don't get caught up in these kind of conversation when these people start talking about the books, these lost books and all this kind of stuff. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1 said, "And the child Samuel ministered unto Yah before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Precious in these days. And there was no open vision. It's so much foolery preaching that's going on. The word is precious, man. When we look at the word precious here, when you look at the word precious, it says clear. Costly. The word was costly. Okay? The word was precious. Valuable in those days. There was a time frame when people just needed to hear the truth. And then it says, and there was no open vision. Y'all was not dealing with our nation much then, during this time frame. Well, we see the same thing happening today. You got preachers walking up in the pulpit every Sunday and also every Saturday, because that's when the Israelite brethren teach. Got to walk it up in the pulpit every Saturday and Sunday, and the word is precious because everybody's teaching from the wisdom of their own eyes. Perception. I can't do it. Can't do y'all like that. Okay? And I just wanted to show y'all some of these things and I admit it with pride. I don't know much about these apocryphal books. That's why when I was reading some of it, I couldn't remember half the stuff because I just don't spend time over there. But you get some preachers who do. They have this book and they'll go right to it and they'll use all of it. And I admit it's some good sayings in these books. In some of these apocryphal books, there's some good sayings in it. But I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to stick right over here with the scriptures. And then they'll start saying, well, you know, the Church of Laodicea is the one who took out those other books and stuff like that. Well, why did they take them out? I don't get caught up in all that. I wasn't there. Who put them in there? See, that's not my debate. My debate is not who put them in there and who took them out. My debate is, do they all line up with each other? Find me one that line up with the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, and the apostles. You know, find me a book that line up with that. Maybe you get my attention. Because you have throughout the scriptures writers referring to other writers in the book. Paul was saying, as it's written. Book of Matthew, as it's written. The prophets, as it's written according to the law. They refer to one another. These books don't do that. I don't teach from them. That's why I don't teach from them. You know. And it's a whole lot of information in Genesis through Revelation for me to learn. And and I've been at it for 30 some years and still learning. Matter of fact, be 30 years in December. I've been at this and I'm still learning. What time do I got to go look at some other books that I ain't for sure is even supposed to be there? Even inspired word of God. I ain't got time to be wasting my time for that. I'm trying to perfect that I know is Yah's word. You know, so I encourage you to do the same thing, and people are going to come at you at all kinds of angles as you continue to grow in the things of Yah. As you continue to understand the scripture, they're going to always try to challenge your surety. But you got to be sure and know that Yah is revealing truth to us. And it doesn't matter if we don't sound like, you know, some other ministry or you know, preach the doctrines of other churches and preachers and things like that. All we're doing is just preaching truth. I even had an individual one time to tell me that I sounded like a Baptist preacher. I was like, what is that? They're like, well, you do this, you know, some of the things that you teach, you remind me of about. I said, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what that is. I just preach the Bible. How do a Baptist preacher sound? How do a Church of God in Christ preacher sound? I don't understand that terminology. You know, and so I just kind of figured, you know, when it comes down to Israelite camps, all they want to do is talk about the law and the prophets. I just teach the whole book from Genesis to Revelation. You know, and maybe that's what they mean. Maybe the Baptist preachers only stay in the gospel. Maybe the Israelite preachers only stay in the law and the prophets. Well, I don't know what I am. I just go from Genesis to Revelation, however Yah lead. Because all of us in Yah's inspired word. And I don't go to the apocryphal books because from what I've looked at, I haven't seen it to be Yah's inspired word. I see a lot of wisdom of men in it. And I see a lot of things that's similar to what was said in the scriptures. You know, so. You know, so I just wanted to share that with y'all. And I'm done. If y'all ain't got nothing else to, you know, to say and or any questions or anything like that, just remember this one thing. Stick with the scriptures. Just stick with the scriptures. Don't let people pull you into all these other type of books. I be asking people, ask me all kinds of stuff. You know, do you read this kind of book? Do you read that kind of book? No, man. I'm just trying to understand the scriptures. And I don't want to sit down and read no 400 page book when I can put all that effort into the scriptures. If somebody else want to do that, that's fine, but that's not my calling. You know, I'm sure on what I'm supposed to be doing, and Yah has put it in my heart divinely to perfect the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. I don't have time to read another book. I may scan through other books and things like that for certain information, but I don't have time to sit down and read other books. I'm too busy trying to perfect the scriptures. Like, you know a good book to read? Yeah, the Bible. That's the only one I read. You got to expand your thoughts and stuff, Pastor. No, you get in that Bible, it'll expand your thoughts for sure. You know. So that's just me. I'm not saying you shouldn't read other books. I'm just saying I'm sure on what I'm supposed to be doing. And and that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So I don't, you know, I got other books, but I very seldom even deal with those books because I'm in the scriptures too much. I'm in the scriptures all day. Well, every time I sit down and read, I'm in the scriptures, or I'm doing some kind of research that's associated with dealing with the scriptures some kind of way. That's it. Okay. My studying is the scriptures. Reading and all that is the scriptures, you know. That's all I have. Any questions, comments? We good? Okay. I'll go ahead and stop here. Father, we just bless you and we thank you for your inspired word. We know there are a lot of other books out there that people are claiming that's your divine word. They're calling the lost books of the Bible. I'll just say, Father, that they're just lost books. I don't know if they belong to you, but if there are anything out there that does belong to you, then you'll reveal that to us. But I confidently declare that you've given us everything that we need in order to see you fully for who you are and what was happening in the past, the present, and also as far as the future. You've given us a perfect book. And I think anything that's added, that can be added to it, will take away from the perfection that you've established in your own word and your own words. And we thank you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.